I'm Jim Burris, in today for Rose Scott.
And I'm Dennis O'Hare. Rose has a few days off. It's been about a year since Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed and a group of area CEOs created the West Side Future Fund. Now, its mission is to drive the revitalization of some of the city's most challenged neighborhoods, including Castleberry Hill, the Atlanta University Center, Vine City, and English Avenue.
And leading that charge is Quince Brinkley Jr., the West Side Future Fund's executive director, is exactly 1 week into his job, and we thought that's the perfect time to bring you in to talk about everything ahead. Welcome to the Closer Look Studios.
Thank you, Jim and Dennis, for having me.
Well, let's start with money. Funding this effort are two major grants, $15 million each from the Arthur Blank Family Foundation and Invest Atlanta, which is the economic development arm of the city. $30 million total, that sounds like a huge amount of money, is it?
Well, it is a huge amount of money, but we, of course, need more dollars because this is a major effort, a comprehensive effort. And I think those are some initial dollars that we can use to leverage other dollars in the community, hopefully from the business community and from foundations.
How much total, then, would you want to get?
Well, you know, at this
I'm not sure,
but at this stage, I think that the dollars that have been made available by Arthur Blank and by Invest Atlanta will help us to initially get started on some of the program issues, look at some land acquisition, and then, again, we have to really look at doing some fundraising for operational support for our organizations and other organizations in the community.
But it's been about a year since this was announced. So have you been able to leverage that money that you've received from the Blank Family Foundation and Invest Atlanta? Have you gotten any matching grants or whatever else you might need from the corporate community to show for it?
Well, yes, the Atlanta Committee for Progress has made some dollar commitments for operational support at the for the West Side Future Fund. We are also going to make a future request of that committee and start a fundraising effort to identify new dollars. The Invest Atlanta dollars are tax allocation dollars. So those dollars have been, there has been some commitment of those dollars by Invest Atlanta, which they are investing in projects and they will leverage other dollars.
As Jim said, you're new on the job, but do you have any idea how much that outside money totals at this point?
At this point, I don't have a clear idea of the dollars that are being leveraged with what Invest Atlanta has committed. But I know Arthur Blank and his foundation has been spending dollars on West Side Works, other efforts in the community, on job creations. So thus far, as it relates to the corporate community, I know at this juncture, we have probably received a commitment thus far of close to $480,000from the corporate community.
Let's talk about what you want to do with that money. And you all have identified three key areas, and the first one being jobs. How do you attract employers to a neighborhood like English Avenue, which has the reputation of being the epicenter of the heroin trade in the entire Southeast?
Well, I think that's a big task, and I think that's something that we have to sit down and work with existing organizations, work with the mayor's office, the mayor's team, to try to figure out ways to make changes in those communities. I think that English Avenue, you know, I've worked in a lot of communities around the country, and this is a very tough community. It's high poverty rate, high vacancy rate, depopulation, lack of investment in those communities. So it's really going to take a comprehensive effort of working with existing organizations, trying to identify resources from the city government, the county, the state, federal, to try to bring dollars in and come up with a new plan of how we can address some of the issues in that community. I met with a group of individuals last night. Dan Cathy brought in some folks, and we talked about what the City of Refuge is doing in that community. We talked about, I met with Ivory Young, called a meeting with some community leaders.
He's the city councilman from that district.
The city councilman had a meeting with Michael Bond as well. And they brought in a group of folks to talk about doing a rehab program of single-family houses in that community. I also would like to look at, you know, the City of Platte for a Living Cities grant, which they received, where we're going to go out and do a listening project in that community and identify, hear what the residents of that community have to say about what they want to see done. And so we're going to take all of that information and then figure out a plan, a comprehensive plan, not just a piecemeal plan, of how we can tackle some of the tough issues in that in these communities.
So we'll get to more of those issues in a moment. But if you would kind of pull back and explain to me how kind of all those conversations actually lead to employers coming in, opening up shop, and people getting jobs.
Well, the first thing you have to do in a community is you have to, a business has to want to come in and invest dollars in a community, relocate folks to a community. So you have to make that community safe. You have to have a sound education system in that community. You have to, of course, as I mentioned, dealing with crime. You have to make sure that there's housing, decent and safe housing, quality housing in that community. And you also have to have transportation in those communities. So for in order to attract a business to move to that community, you got to deal with all of those issues.
Lay some foundation.
Lay a foundation. And until we do that, I think it'll be very difficult to attract businesses in those communities. But we'll focus on those areas and we'll make it happen.
And you mentioned, obviously, you don't have, because you're new on the job, you don't have necessarily the total of the outside money that's been invested, but you did mention a total of around $480,000 so far. Well, compared to the initial push from the Blank Family Foundation and Invest Atlanta of $30 million, $480,000 isn't much so far. So is it a chicken or the egg thing? In order to lay the foundation that you've been talking about, you got to attract outside investment, but you can't attract outside investment till you've got that foundation laid.
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I think you have to look and see what are the needs of that community. And until I get a better understanding and my board gets a better understanding, and until I get out there and meet with members of the community and understand what their needs are, you know, I can, you know, this could really be a data-driven process where you collect data, you understand what the needs of the community are, and then you have to come back and figure out a plan of how to address those specific issues or needs. I think that the dollars that are out there already, I think, you know, they could target specific projects, but just doing one project doesn't solve the issue. We have to figure out how to leverage all of those dollars on a more comprehensive basis to address those issues. And the initial investment by the business community, I think that's just the start. And I think that there that once we get out there and create an atmosphere of a plan, get the commitment of the residents, of Mayor Kasim Reed. He's been wonderful and committed to this project. I think we'll be able to attract more dollars to this community.
You mentioned finding out what the community says it needs. And a little while ago, Arthur Blank, I think, released a video calling on members of the community to come together to work on this. According to a story that 11 Alive did, the reception was not exactly overwhelmingly positive to that video from members of the community. Can you understand the skepticism of folks who say, we don't need somebody to tell us to come together to be working on this? We've been working on this for years and we haven't had any help.
Well, I think, I haven't necessarily seen that video, and I don't, you know, I hear a lot about the history of what has taken place in the past. But, you know, I was hired as a new executive director to focus on talking to folks, bringing folks together, and to function as a catalyst so that we don't have all of these piecemeal efforts. Mm-hmm. We're going to bring folks together to identify what folks are working on, organizations, individuals, developers, owners of property, civic organizations, pastors, and we're going to sit down and we're going to say, what are you doing? This is what we're doing. How can we work together to move forward to improve this community?
There are examples here in Atlanta of communities that have transformed. One that comes to mind especially is the Old Fourth Ward neighborhood. It's a perfect example of a neighborhood that's seen new life. The flip side of that, though, is there's almost no affordable housing now. Many of the people who lived there prior have been forced out. So how do you both improve the housing situation and opportunities on the West Side, but not make it, not make it another Old Fourth Ward?
Well, you know, I don't know, you know, the 04th Ward and the details around that. What I do know is that, you know, this area has been depopulated. There has been no investment. And I think that housing is just one component. I don't think housing is the top priority. I think education is really the top priority. Dealing with health issues and crime issues are the top priorities. We can develop housing. We can provide affordable housing through leveraging dollars, working with the city, working with the county, working with, you know, the corporate leadership in this community. I think that we got to deal with more social issues, because if you have, you know, if you're educated, you can find a job. If you're making a stable income, then you can get housing, whether it's rental housing or buying a home. And then if you deal with the school system, is critical in addressing education.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that in some stories I've done around the English Avenue neighborhood. I talked to folks who live there and said, you know, we've long had a struggle, I should say. But really the turning point when things got really bad was when they closed the local school. Mm. Is it as simple as reopening a school in that neighborhood? Is that kind of laying that foundation?
Well, I think we have to get out there and talk with the leaders in the community who have been working in this area. On our board, we have Dr. Beverly Tatum, who is our vice chairman, and she's the current president of Spelman, soon retiring. And she's going to lead our committee on education. I know the Blank Foundation is working or bringing together a group of folks to talk about education initiatives. Again, I spoke with Dan Cathy last night, and he wants to collaborate with our organizations in the community to focus on a comprehensive effort, including education, to try to address those needs. I've not met the superintendent of schools. I can't wait to meet her and understand her philosophy, and then get out and meet with folks in the community about education. But I do know that's probably the top priority and is critical for any effort in the West Side.
And very quickly, and we are very short of time, so I apologize for asking a question that's going to need a short answer. But you mentioned the superintendent. Have you had any contact with the Atlanta Public Schools about this? And would you plan on asking them to either, as Jim said, reconsider the neighborhood school, or at least, if not that, some other resources that APS could develop there? And we should note, WABE's broadcast license is held by the Board of Education.
Well, yes, Dennis, we're going to talk with I have not had any conversation with the school system. I am going to set up a time to meet with the superintendent along with the mayor's office and the mayor's COO to talk about educational needs in that community. And again, I will go back with our board, with Beverly Tatum, and try to figure out how to address those issues.
Quince Brinkley Jr. is Executive Director of the Westside Future Fund. We've been talking about the nonprofit's plans to revitalize the city's West Side. Quince, so much to talk about. We'll let you have another week on the job before we ask any more questions. How about that?
That sounds great. But thank you for having me here today. Mm-hmm. I just also want to mention that our chairman of the board is Richard Dugas, the chairman and CEO of Pulte Homes. Our vice chairman is Beverly Tatum, and our treasurer is Penny McPhee with the Blank Foundation. So I'd like to just acknowledge them and their leadership towards this effort, along with the mayor.
Thanks so much for being with us, and good luck.
Thank you very much for having me.